Okay, so mostly focusing on our first two readings today, I want to start this year off by explaining something about blessings. Blessings are two-way things. God's blessings come down upon us, and our blessings somehow go up to God. God's blessings are easy to understand, of course. God blesses us all the time with grace, fortune, joy, any other good thing that comes from God. If you listen to me bless an object, which I'm often asked to do after Mass, I'm careful about my words. I say, "May this rosary be blessed by Almighty God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit." I ask the Holy Spirit to descend to us in some small way for the sake of a blessing. Okay, the rosary is not holy because I hovered my hand over it for 15 seconds. A priest isn't special in that way. The rosary is holy because the Holy Spirit descended upon it, formally called down for its sake. God makes the object holy, not the priest. The priest is just the guy who's got that particular ministry as a part of his vocation. It's his responsibility to do that sort of thing, but that responsibility also comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, as human beings with spirits and free will and all that good stuff, we can bless things as well. When we dedicate something to God, or when we praise Him, that is a blessing. We bless God in return for all of His blessings upon us. That fact makes some people uncomfortable. My Lutheran aunt was hosting St. Patrick's Day the year I was to be ordained a deacon. It was like a month apart. And I was super excited because the very first thing I was going to do as a deacon was baptize my first nephew. And we delayed his baptism by a few months to make that happen, and it was totally worth it. Totally worth it. But at Aunt Linda's house, I was talking to the family about the ritual and what to expect, and I happened to include the exact phrase of the baptism. "I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And Aunt Linda did that thing where she goes, like she was physically uncomfortable. She was physically uncomfortable with the idea that baptism was coming from a person rather than God. Now, that makes sense, of course. That's a reasonable issue to have. But that is an indication of how easy it can be for a misunderstanding to happen about faith or ritual given time. God doesn't baptize anyone anymore. He doesn't have arms. It's the same issue with the Holy Spirit writing the Bible. The Holy Spirit did not write the Bible because the Holy Spirit doesn't have a pen. He might, but it's really big. No, it's the Holy Spirit divinely inspired the Bible through the people who physically wrote it throughout the centuries. It's the same thing for a baptism. The baptizer, who need not be a priest or a deacon, mind you, invokes a blessing in the name of the Lord. Does the Holy Spirit make baptism possible? Absolutely. It would be a bath otherwise. But the Holy Spirit requires us to baptize in community. We assist one another in faith. We raise one another up to God. We dedicate one another to Christ. And that is the other kind of blessing. The blessing that goes from earth to heaven. And this is exactly what is happening in the first reading. Did you hear the exact wording? "Speak to Aaron and his sons." This is God talking, by the way. "This is how you shall bless the Israelites. they shall invoke my name upon them, and I will bless them. So God is totally talking about a two-way blessing. We bless and bring someone or something closer to God. And in return, God's blessings bring him closer to us. In a way, that's what the second reading is all about. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. I would say that's a bit more than a blessing, but there's still some overlap, isn't there? God's grace descends upon us for our benefit. And when we're paying attention, we should be able to feel that in our hearts. Some of us are better at that than others, but all of us have at least a chance. Sometimes we don't feel it until we're in great need of God. Comfort and ease of life can sometimes deaden that feeling. There are times where it comes out as a profound sense of peace and stillness. Other times, it's exactly like music. And you know what? Some people feel this automatically. You know, they're naturally aware of some part of the spiritual dimension. And for a while now, I have been able to sense that in other people. The Spirit of the Son of God in their hearts. At least for me, it's easiest when a person expresses it by some love of creativity, wonder, or adventure. I call them sparks, which is from a comic book, so I can't claim that term for myself, unfortunately. But the word is so perfect, I don't feel guilty at all. Every so often, I will look someone in the eye, and it will be as clear as day. An extra hot flame of the Holy Spirit, a tongue of fire that's not so much above their heads as it is inside their gaze. That is a spark. That is the sign of a dreamer who is not going to take the world at face value, because the world is far more interesting than it seems at first glance. I'm sorry if I'm confusing you today. I know this is a fairly esoteric lesson. The biggest source of this train of thought, the sparks and Spirit of the Son of God and all that, the biggest contributor to that is enjoying its 20th year anniversary this year, 2017. And it was no small contributor to my priesthood, in addition to other things, of course. So I feel honor-bound to talk about this for at least a couple of minutes. The world needs sparks. People who don't believe in sparks disagree, but they're wrong. We need at least a few people here and there who will not take the world at its word. We need at least a few people who will propel and inspire the rest of us to be something better than we would be otherwise. If there were no people like that, all of us would slowly wither and die of banality, boredom, and tedium. We need more than the world can provide, and that is exactly where Christ comes in, that link between the human and divine. We cannot survive without it. People who don't believe in sparks will disagree, but they're wrong. We need that link with the divine. And we owe Christ more than we could possibly understand for exactly that reason, him and his mother Mary, on this our feast day of hers. So I want us to celebrate that fact, not just for the remaining 45 minutes or so that we have Mass, the whole day. Through the Spirit of the Son of God, we need never be slaves to the bland and soul-crushing expectations of princes and principalities. So with all sincerity, may 2017 exceed your expectations beyond your wildest dreams.